the workshop is actually a series of stepping stones, if you like, in terms of preparing the region for what was once science fiction in many ways, this harvesting of deep sea minerals, to what is maybe becoming reality, within the next few years, or certainly within the next decade. And there are lots of drivers for that. One is we know a lot more about the deep sea floor and about these types of minerals. And the second thing is, as we've all heard about in the world over the last 10-20 years, is the rise of Asia, really, in the Asian middle class, which is driving a lot of resource competition between the big countries. So as Australia knows very well, being a mining mineral-rich country, which has benefited from its mineral wealth as well, because it's been able to demonstrate good governance in that area. As Australia knows, areas on land are becoming scarcer. Easy sites are becoming more difficult. So it's going to be new frontiers where I think some of the companies are going to be looking. Hence the importance of deep sea minerals. So that's how we start. So how do we prepare the region for that? And that's the big challenge, you're right. This potentially is very much a David and Goliath type situation with big multinational companies or very large government state organizations coming in and negotiating with relatively small and not necessarily empowered small island states. So that's our challenge, is to try and empower them and prepare them for this, I think, the new frontiers in mining, a very exciting development, but also one with many challenges. That's our challenge.
Now, you talk about it being an exciting development. I mean, is that part of what the discussions in Tonga will be all about, really, is trying to rein in this excitement, because the dollar signs will be ringing for developing countries in the Pacific. And as you say, these giant mining companies could be coming in and offering what appears to be a very good deal, generating a lot of cash, but maybe not as good as it appears.
Yeah, that's spot on. You've got it spot on there. That's our concern as a regional organization. The workshop itself, let me just talk a little bit about the workshop. The workshop is one of several workshops which are part of a program funded by the European Union, which is helping us with developing law and legal frameworks around the mining of deep sea minerals. Now, this is a world first, actually. As far as I am aware, there's no legal framework that's been accepted for the harvesting of deep sea minerals. And in fact, this region, and I suppose there aren't too many firsts in the Pacific region, but in the Pacific region, we're very proud that this is the first, and we've got some technical people at INSPC who are working on this and working with lawyers around the world. So this particular workshop will be focusing very much on the law of deep sea minerals. And we're bringing in some consultant lawyers from around the world, too, to help us. At the workshop, all 15, 16 countries of the Pacific will be represented. And they will bring three participants from each country, so from Solomons, from Tuvalu, from FSM, or wherever. They will be coming to this workshop, and it's a five-day workshop. The focus is going to be on the law. There is, it is not just a didactic thing, a sort of a lecture set of session. It's very much a participatory workshop. And we are listening. We as facilitators are listening as much as sharing our knowledge, because, of course, everything has to be tailored and bespoke for our island member states. And we always have to be very careful, of course, in my opinion, we cannot be patronizing. There's a lot of wisdom in these governments and these experts within the island states themselves. And our job is to listen to them, listen to their needs and concerns, and then tailor our approach to help them as best we can. Because the bottom line of SPC and SOPAC division that I head up is we are there for the member states, and it's science for development. So, that's our prime concern. So we're always trying to make sure that we're in the heart of that. So this
Could I ask about part of this process? Will transparency come into this? Because one of the things that we hear all too often on this particular program, in fact, later today we'll be talking about the situation in Papua New Guinea and its LNG project, is the question of transparency, whether the people of a particular country, in this case Papua New Guinea, are actually being told everything about how the money is coming in and, more importantly, where the money is going.
Yeah. That's a difficult one, isn't it? That's a difficult one. And I don't want to talk about any individual country, if that's okay. But I've been involved in the mineral business, not as a mining person. I've always been involved either as a researcher, a scientist, or an advisor in this business, you know. So I haven't got any profit shares, anything like that. So I am genuinely speaking as a neutral here. That is of course paramount. So if we walk through the life cycle of mining, you know, it goes from exploration, finding the stuff, digging the stuff out the ground, processing it, and all of that. And that is a huge investment for a company or for a country. Very often, companies or countries don't make profits for 5 or 10 years. So we have to remember that. And the other thing to remember is it's a little bit like the pharmaceutical industry. For every find, maybe only 1 in 1,000, or maybe even less than that, will actually get to the market, okay? So as you said before about managing expectations and managing excitement, that is definitely part of the discussion. So back to the transparency, okay? Now, I think if we look at transparency around the world with natural resources, we can, you know, divide countries up into those countries that have really worked hard and well with money generated from minerals wealth, and all societies benefited. Now, I think Australia is a very good example of that. But even in Australia, you know, you have issues in Australia sometimes where transparency falls down, even within what is regarded as an internationally well-governed country with lots of regulation. Even in Australia and in Europe and wherever you want to consider, there are issues. Because we're talking about human beings here, yeah, and human nature. So yes, people point towards certain countries, say in Africa, and say, "Oh, these are very bad countries. You know, all this money just goes to an elite group, and they steal the money, and nothing goes to the people." And of course, nobody wants that model. Not even those countries want that model. So we have got to do our best to get transparency in place. But even if you get the best regulations in place, the best transparency, the best system in the world, we have to remember that there's human beings involved, and humans change, you know. People, governments change, people in power change. So this is a never-ending, it's a never-ending challenge, actually. So what we can do at our end is encourage good systems, good practice, best behaviors. But at the end of the day, I think it's beholden on many groups, from NGOs to the general population to governments, to actually ask hard questions regularly about transparency. It's not a one solution fits all, and it's not a put a solution in place and that's perfect forever. It just doesn't work like that.